Welcome back to Palisade Radio. I'm your host, Tom Bodrovics, and joining me this morning is returning guest Chris Vermeulen from thetechnicaltraders.com. How are you this morning, Chris?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. You seem to have found a section of trading that you really have been drawn to in technical trading, and you don't really look at the fundamentals. How did you come to find this?
Yeah, well, I started trading when I was 16 in high school, and from there, I kind of worked my way through learning all the different aspects of trading. And my mindset as a kid was, I want to become a CEO. And my father always said, hey, if you want to be the CEO, you got to start at the bottom, learn every nut and bolt of that factory, figure it out, know everybody, work your way to the top so you're the best CEO there is. And so that was the theory that I had in my head from day one, is I'm going to learn trading. This was the passion that I wanted. And so as I started to learn trading, I went through everything, you name it. I traded stocks, commodities, currencies. I traded options and all the different ways you can trade them. And I learned fundamentals, technical analysis, all the chart patterns, all that stuff. And after going through that, I've been trading for 23 years. I just naturally found what always just seemed to work, what was the most logical. I'm a very logical person. Being a pilot, I mean, I'm all about checklists, and trading just fell into it because I started creating checklists of things that worked. And now I build trading systems, and I love logic because you can prove something that works and you can have statistical analysis. And over time, I've totally fizzled out of anything news or fundamental related. So I am now purely a chartist, a technical analyst. Just give me a chart with price and volume, and I can figure out what's going on. It's not always about predicting where price is going. It's how well and how close can you follow that price and be able to manage your risk there. So I've completely eliminated the fundamental side and just follow price. Because if price doesn't move in your favor, you're not going to make any money. So it doesn't matter what the fundamentals are. So that was the journey that I took. And about 10 years ago is when I really just went 100% technical analysis and just put away news, put away reading other people's research reports, because I find you get confused if you read other people's point of view. I just found what works for me. And that's where I am today. It's just pure chartist.
It seems that it's a far more sober way to look at the markets in this time. And as anybody has been paying attention to gold, if we were just thinking about the fundamentals, we've been waiting for this trade to happen for many years. Recently, you guys said that you predicted this black swan event. And how did you do that?
Well, yeah. So I've got a partner, Brad, and he's really good at long-term mega super cycles and statistical analysis. He's my programmer, and he goes really into depth for the big analysis. And he's the one who came up with this. We're going to have this black swan event coming. Everything was starting to show signs that it was brewing. I knew from a technical standpoint that the stock market last year was in that euphoric stage. Everyone was piling in. It was a stage that was actually very similar to the 2000 tech bubble, which I did an article on that explains it in detail. People don't think that this is like that, but really, if you look at the mindset behind what caused the initial 40% crash in 2000 to what created our 35% crash here in 2020, it's really interesting. I can go into more detail on that later, but more or less, the black swan event was just all kinds of cycles coming together along with market sentiment. And we've built this predictive, it's almost like market DNA. So we can take a string of data and it's mapping out its DNA and looking for patterns that it's created, and how many times has it repeated that pattern, that DNA. And so we can take current data, put on our forecasted DNA of what it has done in the past when it's made this exact pattern. And the software will tell us how many times it's made this pattern in the past and how many times it moved in a certain direction. And so our DNA software was saying, hey, the stock market is setting up for a black swan event. And as crazy as it is, our DNA software actually predicted this virus, which is a DNA virus, which is really, really crazy. But that's how we came about it, is the chart was actually telling us the patterns that we've seen in history are now actually telling us there's going to be a huge event in the next couple months. And we did that back in November, August, November last year. We said, hey, the first couple months of 2020, we're looking at some type of black swan event. We had no idea what it was. We said it could be anything. It could be financial. It could be, we have no idea. But that's what our software was pointing to. And the charts were telling us that, not our software. We were just able to identify it.
Excellent. Sounds like a really revealing piece of software you guys have built.
It's exciting. We've built a lot of custom software to pick up on flows. One of our other key softwares, we can tell when big money is flowing into all the safe havens versus non the safe havens. So we focus on flows into utilities, gold, high yield corporate bonds versus treasury bonds. We look at wood. We look at all kinds of different things. And when money is flowing in different directions or all in one to one side, which is risk on or on the other side, risk off, we can get these incredible index trades and know when to move to equities or to bonds or to cash. And that's what we did with this last market was all of our indicators and our signs were saying, hey, everyone's moving. The big money behind the scenes that people can't pick up on is actually moving into bonds. They're moving out of equities. We were in this euphoric stage and we completely sidestepped this market crash this year. We got into bonds. We rode bonds for just over a 20% move. And then we went to cash and we watched this market collapse happen while we were in cash. It fell in a way that we weren't able to profit from shorting stocks, but we caught the majority of the move with bonds and we're now waiting for a new trade setup. So it's really amazing what software and market sentiment can do going forward. And building out these systems makes life so much easier because you can sit back and it's like looking at a dashboard of a plane. You've got all your indicators, your horizon, you know if the market's angling up or down and we can follow it that way. And that's what I really like about technical analysis is you can put the odds on your side, you can have systems and proven strategies, and you just have to have faith in the systems and follow them. And you're more likely to win than you are to lose.
Very interesting. As we're speaking about where capital is flowing right now, why don't you give us an update on how you saw bonds behave the last week here? We're speaking on Thursday the 9th, right before Good Friday.
Sure, yeah. Well, bonds, I've been expecting bonds to kind of drift and grind their way higher. So we had that initial blow-off top where bonds, they peaked out at about a 30% gain from our entry point. And the day before they peaked, we exited that trade because everything was saying, typically when bonds move 20%, almost always the next day or two, it tops and reverses and crashes. And so that was our reason for getting out of bonds. We're like, hey, bonds have made this 20% move. It's done it about, 20 times in the past. And every time it has crashed afterwards. So we got out of bonds. It crashed 15% after that. And I wrote an article on this as well, talking about, hey, during high volatility, when the stock market completely crashes and there's mass panic in the market, we see bonds collapse. We see gold and silver and miners collapse. It's only short term, and then they'll rebound and they'll start to move higher again. And so now we're in this rebound and move higher phase. And actually, it's more favorable for bonds right now. We're looking at bonds to continue to trade slightly higher and sideways going forward, because right now, the mass investor is calling their financial advisor and they're all in shell shock from what just happened. And they're saying, hey, move me from that 70, 30 or 60, 40 of bond stock split up, put me more into bonds. And so that's why we're seeing bonds kind of drift higher and hold their ground. And I think they're going to continue to move slightly higher and sideways for a while. Precious metals on the other side, I think are going to be under potentially a little bit more pressure. They typically don't perform too well at this phase. We could see them pull back and sell off for a little bit because I think we're on the verge of money starting to move back into equities. We'll see if we do get this pop next week into equities, which we've started this week. We're going to see the safe havens pull back because money usually has to come out of some asset class to go into the next one. So if stocks are going up, we tend to see gold or bonds going down because the money's coming out of those safe havens and it's moving into the next hot asset. So overall, I'm not very bullish on precious metals at this point. They're really ugly charts in terms of technical setups. The ranges are huge. Gold miners has got like a 20-30% range that it could move on any daily basis. And that to me is just way too high of risk because it's not that predictable at this point. So that's kind of what the view is on bonds. Bonds should hold up well. And I think they're going to go higher eventually when the stock market starts to sell off again. But I think they've had their move and they're going to trade sideways for a couple months.
So as you're speaking that the equities are being are going to have another pop, is that because they're signaling that they're oversold? And is this a possible relief rally or dead cat bounce?
I think the equities market is into a this first bear market rally, a dead cat bounce, you can call it. Yeah. So when we saw the 2000 market crash, or the market top for that matter, it's very similar to what we're seeing right now. Back then, it was based on tech stocks. Everyone piled into the tech stocks. When earnings started to roll out, everyone realized, oh my gosh, they realized at the same time, they were like, wow, these companies that just raised like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars aren't making a dime. And there are no earnings, and there's no earnings in the foreseeable future, in the next quarter at all. Like, there was no online presence back then, not big enough to sustain. And when everyone saw that data at the exact same time, everyone dumped stocks. The NASDAQ fell 40%, and then it bounced 45%, which is only half of the recent drop that it just had. Well, looking forward to today, 2020, the virus hit. Everyone knew businesses were stopping. Everyone knows it's going to be a bad quarter. Everyone just dumped all their shares. All the fundamental analysts, all the hedge funds, mutual funds, they're all rebalancing. And if they know there's going to be bad earnings, they got to follow their fundamentals. So they dump the stocks because they know they're going to be valued better later. And that's what created this 35% drop. And now stocks are having a bounce. The S&P 500 is up 25% from the lows a couple of weeks ago. I still think it's going to bounce anywhere between 30 to 40%. So there's still more upside, but it's going to be, I think, short-lived. I think this virus is going to drag out longer. And we've had some good news on the virus. There might be some containment starting. So that's helping support prices. But this is going to drag out way longer than I think people think. And eventually this bounce is going to lose its momentum, form a little topping pattern on the daily chart, give us a beautiful setup to get an inverse ETF and catch the next leg down. And I think the stock market is going way lower. It's going to break the lows that we saw back in March. And it's going to go probably another 20 or 30% lower from that low. So there's going to be some amazing opportunities if this plays out. And very similar to 2000 and even the 2008, there's so much money to be made in a falling market if you know how to take advantage of it. It's just wild because stocks fall on typically 7 times faster than they rise. So in 1 month, you can make 7 months of gains or 7 months of gains. Or in 1 year of a bear market, you can make just as much money as a 7 to 12 year bull market. So it's just, you know, the opportunity is knocking on the door and we're just waiting for this bounce to stall and start to roll over. And there's going to be blood in the streets. It's not good for the economy. It's not good for people. But if you know how to take advantage of it, you might as well.
Of course, that's going to be devastating to see. And it's going to be hard to call. But do you have any idea on timing for that?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough to predict kind of what's going to happen. There's always two scenarios. It's either going to be immediately or it's going to be delayed. I mean, that doesn't give you much advice, but I wrote an article on it yesterday. And if price gets rejected here around 20 on the S&P 500, it's trading at 2700 right now. If it gets rejected at this 27 or 28, 2900 over the next couple of days here, then it has potential to roll over and start this new down leg. And that down leg will unfold in like a month or two. It'll be a bloodbath, just like we saw the end of February to middle of March. So, you know, it'll be like a month collapse in price. My scenario, the best case scenario, would be we continue to bounce and grind our way higher to 2900, maybe 3000. We maybe try and push a little higher, and that will take a few months. Back in 2000, it was a 4-month bounce, which is everybody's waiting for quarterly earnings and they're kind of, you know, getting comfortable to what's going on in the market, and the market bounces up and you get okay earnings, but it's still terrible. And then they start to realize the next quarter earnings are going to be really bad. And then you get that next leg down. So that's what I'm hoping for, is 2 to 3 months from now, the market's topping and we get a sell signal and we can play a move to the downside. So that would be the perfect kind of storm, because that way we can actually catch the move to the downside. Because what happened this year was we were expecting a pullback in equities. We were in position with bonds. We were catching a beautiful move in the bond market and in gold miners. We caught a beautiful trade in gold miners as well. And the market collapsed, fell, perfect. We were expecting that. We caught the first big move, but then the market, the bottom dropped out from the virus and it collapsed without us. And the problem is we couldn't trade that based on my strategy, because I don't chase prices and I don't short in a bull market. We were still in a bull market then. And instead of shorting stocks, I buy bonds. And that relationship works amazing. You're either long stocks or you're long bonds. And then you can go to cash as well. So the fact that the bottom dropped out didn't give us a sell signal. Now we're coming up in this bear market rally. Now we're actually looking to short sell stocks. And you don't want to buy bonds during a bear market. They actually don't perform very well at all. There's way more potential to short by an inverse ETF. So there's a new strategy coming into play for bear market trading. If people haven't traded one before, it's very different than a bull market. And so that's what we're looking for, is this kind of bounce in the inverse ETFs going forward.
As we're speaking of gold and gold miners, are you speaking about the GDX and GDXJ ETFs? Is that mostly what you look at?
I look at SLV, GLD, which is the gold and silver bullion ETFs, and the gold miners. My concern is, I know the fundamentals are there for gold, but the problem is the price action is still really ugly. And if we get another big sell-off in the stock market and mass panic selling hits, people liquidate everything. We saw in 2008. We saw it just last month. It doesn't matter. Bonds fell 15%. Gold fell 15%. Silver fell, I don't know what it was, but it was brutal. Gold miners fell almost 60%. They just go out of favor. And that's my concern. Like, I like them long term. I think they've got good potential. But the problem is, right now, from a technical standpoint, if we hit another wave of panic selling, they're going to get clobbered and they're going to get hit really hard. Gold is the best play out of them all. Gold, if you were to look at the weekly chart and zoom out years, gold is the only one that's broken out of its, you know, 6-7 year base. And it's clearly in a bull market. And that's why it's holding up and it's trading at its highs still. Silver, miners, they're all in their base, which means it's dead money. It's unpredictable. You don't want to be in them. As much as, you know, people were going bananas over silver down at, you know, $20, whatever it was, $12 an ounce a week or so ago. It's a good deal, but I mean, you're trying to pick a bottom in a dead market. Yeah, it has a huge percentage to rally up to 19 or 20 to get to the upper end of its range. But to me, if you're looking at it from more of a different trading standpoint, investing standpoint, silver and miners, I would just leave them until they fully break out of and start a bull market. Gold has been some of our best trades. You get into gold, it's had beautiful runs last year and this year, and that's where you want to be. You want to be in the leaders, not the laggards and the dogs, and that's what silver and miners are at this point. I mean, they're building a base. The bigger the base, the bigger the move down the road. It's awesome, but just right now, from this point of view, it's as an investor, you're holding on to something that could be in this range for years still, potentially, which doesn't sound good. But I mean, that's the reality of it. When something's out of favor, it can be there for years, as we've seen already. So I'm hoping they'll break and rally to the upside. but they're not there yet.
I think a lot of us are hoping that, Chris. Could you give us your thoughts on oil right now, and also share why the gold to oil ratio is important to us?
Sure. So crude's obviously beat up real bad. It looks like it's putting in a significant bottom, very similar to the December 2018 bottom. I mean, price-wise, price pattern, everything is just kind of starting to scream that it's trying to put a bottom in. And we've seen a huge rally. It went from $19 a barrel to $29 a barrel over a six-day period, a 50% rally in the last week and a half. I think a lot of that's based on it being oversold. There was a short squeeze, so anyone short the oil started to cover. And then these talks of Russia and Saudis potentially easing off on some of their production. Right now it's forming a nice bull flag. It's got lots of buying in crude, but everybody's been in limbo just waiting. And that chart looks ready to pop. And everybody's waiting today for OPEC to see what Russia and what kind of agreements are going to come together. And the only thing I don't like about crude right now is we're waiting on news for the next move. And trading around news is completely random. You never know if the answer is going to be yes or no, or how good it is. And you don't know how trading systems, when they read the news, are going to trade it, and if price has already been factored in. So it's going to be a very random move, and I don't like to trade on news, because typically any move in the stock market that happens on news is usually given back within a three-day period, at least half of the move. In most cases, it's usually a reversal point, and it goes the opposite direction that even makes sense. So it's buy the rumor, sell the news, and of course, I think everybody bought the rumor, which is why it popped 50%, and now we're waiting, and maybe the news comes out and there's a deal, but maybe it actually sells off. So it's really tough to trade on news. But I think long-term wise, crude at these prices, I mean, I don't think it's sustainable down at these prices. I think it'll eventually go back up and get to that $45 per barrel area. But at this point, I mean, it's still in a downtrend. It looks like it's trying to bottom, but it hasn't yet. And if we break down from here, I still have an ultimate target of the $17 to $14 per barrel. That would be an extreme low. That's a long-term pattern, a long-term measured move on the chart. And if that level is hit, I think it'll be like a V-shaped recovery from there. I think it's just a washout low, and it'll be an incredible opportunity. And I think energy stocks at that point would be like a screaming buy to get into. So it's going to be interesting over the next week or so to see how crude oil performs with this news today, and if it can break above and hold above $28 per barrel, because that's the line in the sand. It needs to hold on a weekly basis above 28. If it can, I think we're off to the races, back up to 45.
Excellent, Chris. And why is the oil to gold ratio important to us?
Believe it or not, I don't really follow the gold oil to gold ratio too much at all. I haven't looked at it in years. I mean, ratios don't play a big role in what I do. I mean, I look at the gold silver ratio sometimes, but I mean, they might help you identify times when there's a good opportunity, but you still have to watch the charts and wait for the setup and then trade it. And so if I'm always just following the price and the chart looking for these setups, it doesn't matter what a ratio is doing, because I'm not trading off a ratio. All it is a kind of a warning sign saying, hey, things are out of whack. Get ready for a big reversal in prices. And that's what kind of ratios do. They just tell you when something's extreme, but you still got to go back to the charts and say, okay, I know I'm looking for something. Now I just need to let it come to light and build on the charts, and then I'll take advantage of it. So yeah, the ratio's out of whack, and there's going to be a huge move. And that's all you really need to know. You got to hone in now to find the best opportunity. Do you buy XLE energy sector stocks? Do you buy just a crude oil ETF that follows the price? You know, you just got to pick your poison, look for the best setup that fits your time frame, personality, and trade those. I'm an ETF guy. I love ETFs. They get rid of a lot of independent chop in price from news and press releases and all those things. And you can put a lot of money into an ETF. They move slower. They're more predictable than individual stocks. So I like to put more money in one trade that is in something more stable and has lots of liquidity in it, and trade a larger percentage of my account versus spreading it over a bunch of individual stocks. It's just my strategy. I just find it easier that way. It's less work as well. So that's just the way I attack the markets.
Excellent. Do you have any concluding thoughts for us, Chris?
Well, I mean, I think if you're a short-term trader, you got to be on your toes. I mean, the markets right now are just incredible for day trading. I've been doing some day trading with a friend who I'm teaching to day trade right now, and it's just incredible. Like the daily swings here are great. As a swing trader, to me, it's like a minefield. You're up 5% one day, down 5% the next. If you're in an independent individual sector like gold miners, I mean, it's moving 20, 25% a day in some points. It's up one day, down the next, very random. If you're a swing trader, you got to keep positions small or just kind of sidestep the market. Just let it work itself out and get back in when things are a little more predictable, because they're not very predictable right now. And there's no point in risking money if things aren't predictable. As a long-term investor, I mean, the markets are oversold here. We're looking for a bounce. If we get a bounce and higher prices over the next month or two, my system should be shifting to more or less bear market phase, where we'd be liquidating any long-term retirement account funds and moving to cash or looking for an inverse ETF. So I think we're on this shift from a bull to a bear. We're not in a bull market anymore. We're not in a bear market yet. We're right in the middle, and where the teeter-totter is just kind of swaying, bouncing each way a little bit. We need more time to let the technicals and the fundamentals and all those things start to come into play, and for market sentiment to shift. And then eventually we're going to clunk back into a bull market and take off, or we're going to, clunk the other way, and it's going to be a bloodbath in the markets, and we see red day after red day and huge panic in the streets. It's going to be wild. So this is just a really important time to focus, make sure you understand the big picture and the short-term picture, and try and position your portfolios. I mean, trading accounts are usually our smaller accounts. It's our long-term retirement trading accounts or investment accounts that are our nest eggs, other than our houses, which are usually our biggest asset. You've got to protect your investment account. And I just launched a new service just for investing for IRAs and RSPs and TFSAs and anyone who's got any type of retirement account to follow these signals to know when to move to cash, when to be long equities, or when to have an inverse fund that will rise in value as stocks fall. Because this is the point where you need to make sure you're on the right side, or you're going to lose half your nest egg over the next year, potentially, if you don't play it right.
Perfect. And where can people find those, Chris?
My service is at thetechnicaltraders.com. And I run two newsletters. One's a swing trading newsletter, and the other one is an investing newsletter, so that you can keep your long-term capital on the right side of the market.
And you're also the Tech Traders on Twitter, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Excellent. If anybody has any questions or comments about today's show, please email me at tom@palisaderadio.com. Chris, thanks very much for your time today.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Always a pleasure.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?